Hello, and welcome to the July episode of the Women of Color Empowered Show with your host, Kimberly Lee Miner. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV. And we know you are going to absolutely love this interview. It's a conversation about the power of having allies. Today's guests are two powerhouses. Alice Kim is the founder and CEO of Perfected, and Bernadine Wu is a partner of Fez Ventures and vice chair of Women of Color Empowered Alliance. Take it away, Kimberly.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm super excited to be here with these amazing women. We had a conversation not too long ago, and it just drove me to say, hey, come on the show, because we're all about women of color empowered. And empowered women empower women. So let's just jump right in, because we have a lot to cover. I know we've had several conversations, and I'm really excited for this, what we're going to talk about. So let's start with Alice. Alice, you're more than just the founder of Perfected. Why don't you give us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what you'd want people to know about you?
Sure. Born and raised native New Yorker, and I want people to know that because there are very few of us. And I'm proud of that. So I had a 22-year career in fashion, retail, holding executive positions before I started my startup entrepreneurial journey. Right now, I am the founder and CEO of Perfected, because we perfected all the tops for fuller bust women. We are fuller bust inclusive clothing, not lingerie, but clothes such as the dress that I'm wearing right now, button downs. I think Bernadine is wearing my button down.
I am.
Yes. So we create clothes that are even more size inclusive, focused on a woman's chest.
Can I tell you, and I'm going to digress, because this is what happens, right? There's something you say, and then I'm like, oh, let's talk about that for a second. And we'll get to Bernadine. And I've been this morning, we were watching CBS This Morning with my husband, and there was a guest on there who was talking about her. It was a new jeans wear line, and it's non-binary, and it's about the fit, you know, because you can't find the right fit in men's, you can't find the right fit in women's. And Gail King said, I am a 10 up top and a 14 on the bottom, just want to let you know. And my husband was like, what does that mean? And I said, well, it means that she's smaller on top and larger on the bottom. And he was like, oh, well, then does that? And he's like going into the whole thing. And how do you buy clothes? I said, well, you know, I spend a lot of money getting things tailored, because it used to be, especially if I wore a dress, it would have to be big to fit across my breast, but then it would be too big in the bottom. So I'd have to have that altered, or vice versa. We had a 20-minute conversation about it. And I told him about you. I was like, oh, I just recently met this woman, and I'm having a conversation with her today on Empowered. And she has this company called Perfected, and it's all about that. So it was interesting to have that conversation today, but it's perfect for what you do. And we have to figure out how to get you in front of Gail King, because she's a 10.
I would love that. And it's really about having the right fit, so you don't look like a tent, because when you have a fuller bust, you tend to size up to fit your chest, but yeah, it's big everywhere else. And if you settle with clothes that fit your body, your frame, then you're busting out, showing more than you want to. And you look unprofessional either way. So Solving that solution. And I do want everyone to know, the average bra size in the US is a 34 double D. That is the average. It is Googleable. I'm not making it up. So, and yet brands are not catering to this body type. So I'm here to solve the problem and service this underserved demographic of women who happen to be the majority.
Well, that's allyship in itself, right?
Thank you.
Right. Okay. So now, Bernadine, why don't we do the same? Tell us a little bit about, because I know you are like multi-hyphenated. You've done so many things. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you've done.
So I would say that I am an entrepreneur, an executive, and now an investor. I had a long career on Wall Street, as well as in consulting. And then I started a company about 16 years ago. And we advised many brands, retailers, and companies. If you walked into any North American mall, probably 3/4 of those brands, or any route, as we say in New Jersey. I am a native New Yorker too. But in New Jersey, you know, if you, any big box, you know, stores. So we had the privilege of working with so many great companies. And then we were acquired 2 years ago. So that for us, you know, as an entrepreneur, is sort of the ultimate. And now I'm an investor and advisor And I'm very proud to be involved and on the board of Women of Color Retail Alliance.
Yes, and we're very happy to have you. And we most recently welcomed Alice as a member of our advisory council. So this feels like I'm talking to sisters. So I'm excited for this conversation. So, we've had conversations, and we've had conversations, pretty serious conversations, about what does allyship mean? Why is it important? And I'm not going to take any of the thunder, but I know both of you had like these moments of reckoning, like, oh, I've always felt like I was an ally, but now I understand why it's so important. And I know we have those experiences over and over again, but is there a specific experience that you'd love to share with our listeners, so that they can probably get an idea of, oh, that I've experienced that too. I didn't know that that might be the catalyst to allyship. So, Bernadine, would you like to share?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say that for me, it's been a journey. And even though I am in my, fifth chapter of my life and my career, it's been a more recent journey. I mean, it starts when you're younger and you realize that you're different or you're other or that you're treated differently, or, generally for Asian Americans, there's a little bit of that invisibility or that model minority myth. But actually, I think that BLM was an eye-opener for me, just from a even from a factual perspective of learning about, Tulsa and the many great, not great, but great horrible things that have happened in our history, and becoming more aware of both macro events as well as microaggressions. And putting a name to it really actually helped me understand many of the things that had happened to me or that I'd seen happen to many other people. And I think that's where I began to feel like, hey, Black, Brown, Asian, all of these identity-based, gay, lesbian, et cetera, are all identity-based and treated like other. And I think that's where I started to feel like we have something in common and that we ought to stand for each other and that we ought to work together to correct some of these wrongs and educate people, because it's a lot harder to hate or discriminate when up close. And I have found through this experience that if we are talking to each other, learning from each other, and by this I mean allies as well, not just people of color, that that we are stronger. And so recently I had just a more recent example in these college protests on campus around what's going on in Gaza and Israel. And there's many sides to it and many nuances to what is a very complex situation. So it's my comments are not so much about the war and that, but just we've seen a lot of college arrests happening. And I am involved with my university, and it made us think harder about equal protection. And if we are arresting protesters for peaceful protesting or for setting up tents, are we also arresting people who harass, an Asian event or space or a Black or Brown or Native space or event or person or group? And I realize it is not equal protection. And that is the most basic right of us, that we would want our students to have on campus, that we'd want our children to have, that we would want each other to have. And so for me, there was that there continues to be aha moments for me. And serving on WACRA, as we affectionately call Women of Color Retail Alliance, I've learned so much from Kimberly and other women of color about Black and Brown experiences as they relate and not relate to me. And then it makes me realize that actually, you know what? We are all allies already. I mean, don't we advocate and support our family, our friends, our inner circle? So why not expand that inner circle so that we are allies to more people, even if they don't look like us or have the same kind of experience as us?
I think it's important that, we talk about that, and we say, hey, well, we don't know. Sometimes we just don't know what other people are experiencing, right? And so we see things through our eyes. And if you're relating it to your experience, then you might not think, oh, that's a problem. But then when you actually pay attention, and then you see, oh, I thought that was only happening to me, and now I see it happening to someone else. Or that's never happened to me. Why is it happening to someone else, what can I do to make a difference? Like, what can I do to change that? And it really does come down to being willing to kind of stand in that gap, right? Like, okay, excuse me. I just saw this. Can you explain why that happened? You know, and then generally it goes like this. Oh, is that your friend? No, I don't know them. But I know that what just happened is not right. There's a whole different approach with that. So, and we're so excited. Like, there's more we can talk about with WACRA and what some of the things that we've seen or learned that you know, we just didn't know. And some of those surprised me as well. Alice, we were talking about, Bernadine just talked about the inner circle and expanding the inner circle. And I know that that is near and dear. So you want to pick up where we just left off? Because
Sure. And I'll actually share an experience because I won a Fearless Fund Women of Color grant. So right before they were sued, I was the last group of grantees that they were able to award. So it's for women of color. And I was invited to Atlanta to their Fearless Fund Summit. And it was incredible. I have to say, majority of the women were Black. I would say maybe 97% were Black, very few non, and I was one of them. So first of all, what I would tell everyone is show up, right? I showed up. There are other people who didn't show up. We have to show up for each other. And when I was there, I'm getting chills right now because it was such an incredible experience. I was so welcomed and loved. There were 2,500 people there. And somehow, I mean, yes, I guess it was luck who I met there, all of that. They gave me the stage. So I was one of the recipients out of 70. And in this forum where I said, you know, majority were Black, they selected me to present and gave me that opportunity. And it meant the world to me, just welcoming me. And I didn't feel like another. And it was this love and sisterhood. It opened up my eyes to a different, like, my heart is like, pouring, like I could cry really thinking about this because I didn't know anyone there. They didn't know me. They found me on an application and an interview. And when I showed up and did my part, they just surrounded me with support and love. And guess what? I always thought I was an ally. Growing up in New York City, I have diverse friends. I have a lot of Black friends. And no, you can't just check the box and say, I have Black friends. I'm not racist. That's different, right? And I realized the true meaning of allyship and difference. And guess what? It's opened up my heart to create more opportunities, be more open and giving, even if you're not my friend, because of what I experienced.
I think it's even more powerful when you're not my friend, right? Because, and you know, you speak about growing up in New York, and we grew up in a suburb of Philadelphia, and friends, very diverse, you know, friends diverse, school not so diverse. And it really was when I went to college that my circle got bigger, right? Because my life got bigger, because that's what college is for, right? And each step you take. But to say that I always had allies, I can't honestly say that. I had friends. I had a small circle of friends. I mean, our producer is one of them. And I always felt very comfortable because I knew my friends had my back. Even though my friends didn't look like me, they had my back. When I went out into the world, it became a little different. But I tell everyone this story in that the whole idea for Women of Color Retail Alliance kind of came to be when I was a VP. Now, you know, I've been in my job now. I've been in my career for like 12 years or so, and now I'm VP. And it wasn't until I became a VP with this company that I felt like an other, right? I mean, I saw myself as, you know, I knew when I was in school, I stood out. I was always the only brown face in pictures, like always. And even professionally, but I was never made to feel like an other. So I never felt that. And then
until you got to a certain level, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I never had that problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like I see it maybe a little differently now, but when I was at Express, right, I was asked to present. I think I had been there for 3 years. And I'd had a few promotions, but I presented at the annual shareholders meeting, right? They wrote the speech. I went out there, I did that, and I was like, okay, so I'm a part of the team. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, they see me as a part of this team. And as we move and we grow, I'm a part of that. And I, you know, and that's kind of where I was until I got to this other company in New York City. And I was made to feel like an other. And I was like, wow, okay, all right. I need to deal with these people differently. Because I am totally isolated and I don't have anyone here who has my back. And the isolation, the loneliness, and the fear that comes with that is palpable because you never know what's going to happen coming around the corner. And I think that it was surprising to me in New York City because, you know, Alice, you spoke about it, how it's such a diverse city. But if you're in a situation where you don't know what's going to happen around the corner, you don't know who might have your back, and you don't know what people are saying about you because you're an other, that's where it becomes very scary. And, you know, we've talked about that, Alice, and that if your experience in Atlanta made you see the world in a bigger circle, do you want to talk about that and how it's so important
No,
on that?
absolutely. Because, and it's not going back to what we're saying about friendships. Friendships is one thing, but in a professional setting, trying to rise up together, right? So we're stronger together, better together. If one of us is up top, we're going to bring the other person. We're not competition. And how I think about that is think of our closet. How many sneaker brands or shoe brands do we have? We don't align to one brand, right? There's space for all of us, and we rise together. So it just opened up my eyes in so many ways. And I also realized the power of, I know we're using the word allyship, but you can't just speak to each other. There were very few, like I said, 3%, I don't know if the percentages are accurate, but of other people, meaning male and white people, so non, you know, Black and Asian. So if we're not speaking to them, we're just speaking to ourselves. In order to create change, you need the support and voice of others, aka the majority. So, how do we get them to understand and hear our story and support us? Because they're only together can we create change.
And here's the problem. As I see it, there's this group, and what is his name? Ackman. Ackman is he is dead set on taking all of these organizations out, right? Fearless Fund. He led the fight with the Supreme Court on removing race from affirmative action. And if people who are listening to this, I want you to really listen. So affirmative action still exists. He did not remove affirmative action. He took race out of affirmative action. So generally, anyone who was benefiting from affirmative action, which traditionally has been white women, will continue to benefit from affirmative action. Race is taken out of affirmative action. So those who were at the intersection of race and whatever else it might be that affirmative action gave you benefit, you will lose that benefit. So that's taken away from a college. You might not have access to, it's affecting scholarships. It's affecting everything, right, for college. And then you look at Black women receive, what is it, 0.037%? I think that's the number of any investments. And so if you're not advancing in the corporate world and you're kind of isolated and you don't have the allies, and so you say, okay, no problem. I will do my own thing. I will become an entrepreneur. And there's no one who is investing in you over there. Then what happens? What does that look like for you? And then if you fall into poverty or whatever that might be, that is a result of not having the access, then you're made to be the reason that you are in this situation and can't get out of it. And if you ask for help, then you're seen as weak or, you know, a burden to society. And I hate to bring it down, but that's kind of the breakdown of how things work. And being an entrepreneur, Alice, you know how hard it is. I mean, Almost impossible. And the product you have is amazing. Like we just talked about, Gayle King needs to have your shirts, your
Yeah.
dresses, everything. But it's so hard. And so, can you talk about some of the allies that you've had and support that you've had to get here? And then, Bernadine, I want you to talk from the perspective of, an investor, right? Like how you see your role in that space.
I mean, I could just immediately talk about Bernadine. So Bernadine and I actually went to the same high school and college, not the
Wow.
same years, but being Asian and in fashion, multiple people had put us in touch together. And it took a few introductions for us to really get together, and instantly we fell in love with each other. But Bernadine is the one who introduced me to WalkRow, Women of Color Retail Alliance, and brought me in. She didn't look at me as competition, and she was like, "Wait, we need more people." And brought me in, introduced me to you, and that's just how it starts, opening your mind and heart. Obviously, our missions were aligned. We have similar values. So you have to have sincerity and the time investment to get to know each other, not just social climbing or networking, but we sincerely wanted to get to know each other. And she was like, "Actually, we're working on this thing. Would you like to get involved?" Immediately, it was an aligned mission. And there are so many other things. Bernadine has introduced me to people that she's worked with and said, "Hey, you're looking at marketing. What about this person? The industry is so noisy and crowded. If there's a recommendation, we are going to take the call. We are going to give them preferential treatment because of who recommended us." And it's similar to Bernadine introducing me to you, Kimberly. Immediately, you trusted her judgment and welcomed me. And even our dinner that I was invited to just last week, incredible. And we're bringing our networks together for an aligned mission to spread the word. Because guess what? If it was just you two, wonderful, but you're keeping it insular. So how do we keep growing our community? And we need to bring others together.
Yeah, we had an incredible dinner. And what I loved about it was so diverse. So diverse. And everyone came together because they want and after follow-up, they all came together. There were men, there were women, there were, I mean, every different type of color and everything, right? And afterwards, all the calls, and I'm sure you've gotten them too, Bernadine. How can I help? What can I do? And that wouldn't be like you can't do that with FUBU, right? You just can't do that with just the for us by us. It just becomes, I don't know what you want to call it, like a, I don't know, a coffee klatch or like, it's just not going to be effective. But in thinking about the whole idea of investment and how few women get investments, it's just so empowering to sit here with you, Bernadine, A, knowing that you've sold a business. Well, you're kind of turning water into wine in that you sold a business and instead of like going and buying an island, you're investing.
It's great to take an investment mindset to actually everything. When we had our consulting firm, that's the advice that we often gave executives and leaders, that every decision you make, whether it's about your career or about your company or your P&L, you've got to think about it like an investor. And so I think that personal growth and diversity and allyship is no different. What am I going to put in? What investment am I going to make? What return do I want? The return can be for me, it could be for my family, my community, the world. And we should all be being very deliberate about it. And I'm in this stage now where I have been being deliberate about what legacy do I want to leave? How do I want to leave the world a better place? How can I help my kids and others think that way about, leaving the world a better place? So I've started choosing the various things that I'm involved in. I've started investing in various companies, and I'm especially interested in women-owned companies. I think that there's also, there's of course this whole, DEI trend, and now there's a backlash of DEI. But to your point, Kimberly, before, if you'd go a level or two or three deeper and you really listen and learn what's going on, whether it's the private equity market or the who gets the order from the big, department stores, or who gets the space in marketing, if you look deeper, it's very easy to see, and the data shows how unequal and unfair it is. And then sometimes I think I've had a really great career and I fought hard for it. Imagine if I didn't have some of these barriers just based on what I look like, right?
Right.
And I hadn't thought about that actually until BLM and what that must be and how, you know, I just can't imagine like how our heads don't explode at how unfair or hard it is. And again, we're even privileged in, you know, in our socioeconomic level. And so I've mentored dozens and dozens of young people, and I hire lots of interns so that they get that exposure and experience with people. And I look at more at not just people of color, but also economic, you know, first gen to college, or you know, people who haven't even didn't have the opportunity to go to college. I think again, we can be allies to many in many different ways. And each person, maybe we just need to think about like what is the way that I like what's the ingredients that I want to use and what's the cake that I want to make and who do I want to share that with? But let's just get going and let's just start. And sometimes people say, well, how do you navigate the complexity of this, you know, and you're already a minority group and how do you be an guess what? We're women. We're used to juggling a lot. We're used to having so many things conflicting and figuring it out and still showing up and standing for each other and for other people. So, you know, we talked about like how what advice do we give? You know, it's just like you said, Alice, show up, stand up, you know, and be in action, I think is probably the biggest, you know, calling for us.
I agree. And I think that's a perfect segue to kind of end our conversation, because I was going to say, like, what's your advice? Because people are, they talk to me, I get it all the time. Even with WACRA, you know, people say, oh, there's such a good cause. It's so important. But I'm not a woman of color, so I can't be involved. Well, no, you've just taken yourself out unnecessarily. Right? You've just self-isolated for no reason because we are all women, to your point, Bernadine. And if
And we're
the
all
reason,
humans.
huh?
And we're all humans on this
We're all
earth together,
humans,
right?
right? But if we even just start with women, whenever you look at the data, women aren't getting to parity. And the reason women aren't getting to parity is because women of color are so below the waterline, right? And if we're going to make sure that women are lifted, then we have to focus on where the issue is, right? And it's not just like it's all women of color are not
Right.
the waterline. And so let's work together and lift each other so that we can move up. You know, I was sharing with you, I was at an event not too long ago. And someone was introducing me, and they said, oh, this is Kimberly Miner. She's the CEO of this incredible organization, blah, 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 you know, Women of Color Retail Alliance. And the woman said, women of color or black? And I said, women of color, because she said it just like that. So I was, women of color. And she's like, oh, I only focus on black. So I said, okay, that's nice. So she said, she looked at me because I think, you know, I guess was like, okay, we do something different. And she said, well, I'm old school. Nobody ever focused on us before. And I
I
said,
think
okay.
that's a great point too, that we're talking about teaching a n next generation.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going with that. Right. It's the next generation. And so this conversation is focused on all the generations, but it's really about the next generation because they spend so much time on their phone. And I think sometimes they don't see what's really out there because it's what's been filtered to look good on their phone. And so for the next generation, we are the inspiration for them. We have to teach them how important it is to be an ally, to be a sponsor, to stand in the gap for people who can't otherwise stand in the gap for themselves. And so, you know, as you both said it, Alice, you can say it again just so people can hear for the people in the back who might have missed it or came in a little late. What is the most important thing to you in being an ally?
I think just realizing that by supporting someone else, it doesn't push you down. We rise together. And I always say, show up. You want something for yourself, show up for others as you would want. So we rise together and you're stronger together. It's a stronger voice together.
And I know, Bernadine, you say get shit done. And the
I
way we
do. I always say
can.
get GSD, hashtag GSD, get shit done. And the other one that I normally share is don't ask, don't get. I tell this to my kids all the time. If you don't ask for it, you're definitely not going to get it.
That's right.
So, you know, whether that's the getting the job or the promotion or the raise or the help that you need, you know, or just making powerful asks of people in your circle as well as outside of your circle, then how can you expect, you know, the world to be there for you as well?
That's right. That's right. Well, I've enjoyed this conversation and I appreciate your time. And I appreciate you both, not just as women, but as Bernadine, reminded me, as humans. And that's how we are. That's where we show up first as humans. And so thank you so much for being in my circle. Thank you, Alice, for coming in to the circle. And I hope that everyone got as much from this conversation as I did. And hopefully we'll see you very soon in the future because we should know each other. Thank you so much.
Thank you, beautiful ladies. That was amazing. We really appreciate everyone's time. You are listening to the Women of Color Empowered Show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV, also on Apple, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Be well, everyone. We'll talk to y'all soon.